everyone, and welcome to Let's Get Visible, a podcast for business owners, helping them to grow, have a sustainable business, and get more visibility online. I'm Dawes Brown, and I'll be bringing you SEO and digital marketing tips, as well as interviews and conversations with other business owners. So let's get started. Today, I'm joined by Fiona Matters from Pipewolf Media. Fiona, along with her husband Dave, are the founders and directors of Pipewolf, a film and audio production company based in Wollongong, New South Wales. Fiona was exposed to small business life early on, spending most of her childhood witnessing her parents run a general store and then start their own publishing business. In seeing their business grow from an idea to a successful company, Fiona gained a unique education and a rare insight which has steered her to build Pipewolf Media. Fiona has a background in coordination, marketing and media directing, which has come in handy since starting Pipewolf Media in 2017. Fiona and Dave have faced the challenges of starting a business from scratch, transitioned from sole traders to a company and expanded their team. Fiona is passionate about her two cats, Panda and Fox, talking about mental health, staying home and shopping online and all the adventures that a business brings. So let's welcome to the Let's Get Visible podcast, Fiona.
Hello. I'm so excited for this.
Welcome. So excited too. And thank you for being part of the podcast today. The reason why I'm so excited to have you on the podcast today is because I've worked with you and Dave many times. We only just done a recording actually last week, which again, just so exciting and fun. That's what makes this episode particularly so special. Yeah. Now, the first word that comes to mind when I think about Pipewolf Media is fun. It's always such a ball, so much fun. We have so many laughs when working together. How did Pipewolf actually begin and come to life?
That's a great question. I don't exactly know. Well, it's an accidental business. So as you said, I grew up in a family business.
Yes.
And I ran a business for a year when I was in my very early 20s as part of the NEIS program, the New Entrepreneur Incentive Scheme.
Very cool.
And it destroyed me. It was good. It was a victim of the global financial crisis. It didn't quite survive that. Right. But I wasn't really interested in running a business. I had seen my parents flog away at running their business my whole life. And although it had a lot of reward, I was under no illusions of the kind of work that it took to run a business. Yeah. My parents purchased their first business when I was 3 years old, and they're still in business today. So I literally have watched over 30 years of what it takes to run, you know, a business.
Yeah.
When Dave and I met, we're an online dating success. We were emailing a lot because, you know, it was a distance relationship. And so we both had different creative projects that we were working on at the time. And so I had as a subject line of an email called it Pipewolf, which was a combination of, he had a project called Pipe Boy, which was a radio drama that he was working on. And I had a writing project called The Wolf and the Key. So it was a bit of a Brangelina. Yeah. So I just mushed it together as a joke name sort of thing, like a cute dating thing. And then we had talked on and off about if we could do anything, what would we do? And we both had media backgrounds. So Dave is a videographer and was, you know, very interested in film. And I had a media background where I, you know, had done a lot of coordination. And so I used to coordinate a media team and really enjoyed that. And so we had this, wouldn't it be great if the idea then was to start a kind of media house where we would have a massive network of graphic designers and videographers and different people, web designers, et cetera.
Yeah.
And that clients would come to us and then we would form a team based around people's strengths for each project. That was what we would not even dream about doing, more muck around, or we were just
toying
chatting
with the idea. Yeah.
Yeah. And there was no way like, oh, we're going to do this. It was just a, you know, it's like a bit of a let's move to the country conversation that just keep yourself entertained.
Yeah.
And when we met, Dave was at uni. He was doing an accounting degree, which is hysterical.
Really?
I did not know that. If anyone's met Dave, I think I was lured in under false pretenses because I'm thinking, oh, this guy's going to make some serious money. This is going to be great. I'm getting in on the ground level. And then as we're going, I'm like, why are you doing this accounting degree? You're clearly a videographer. You need to do this. And he hated accounting. I don't even know how that happened. So I was working full time and he finished uni at the beginning of 2017. And it was basically the idea was we're used to living off one income. Why don't you become a freelance with video and just give it a go? Because what have you got to lose?
That's it.
And we went and got the computer that we purchased is hysterical now. It's such a lightweight. We literally have a photo of it compared to our current computer and it's like less than half the size. We get a computer and then I think my mum bought him a camera for his birthday. Like it was this real hodgepodge kind of collection of gear, not very much gear at all. And it was, you know, I'm going to work and he's starting to freelance. And Dave is a complete genius when it comes to video. I've worked with a lot of videographers. I've never seen anyone as well-researched and
talented
as he is.
Yeah.
When it comes to quoting or finding work, Dave's a little bit out of his depth sometimes. So the quotes were just picking figures out of the air and stuff. And so of course I'm like twitching in the background, watching this happen like a train wreck. Can't really cope. And so of course then I'm becoming more involved because I can't help myself. And somehow it went from being this freelancing idea to it becoming a business. And then by the end of the year, I'd quit my job and we were both doing it. Yep. So we never sat down and said, we're going to start a business. We never wrote a business plan. It just fumbled into this, let's give it a go. And then it was working. And the idea was we would get the business really strong and then I would quit my job and jump in. But we also got to this point with this tension where it's not going to get stronger until we're both working.
Yes.
And you have to make the leap, which is scary because, you know, we've got a mortgage and I'm accustomed to a certain level of living. Basically just a little bit above the poverty line. It's hard when you're like, when you're in your early 30s, you feel like you've paid your dues.
Yes.
And so you're just like, I don't want to go back to noodles and beans on toast. But I think I had said, there's no way I'm running a business. I'm not interested, but I think it's more in my blood than I'd like to admit. So my dad is a keen business owner and wouldn't have it any other way. And then his grandfather was a very successful business owner. So I think it's in my DNA, whether I like it or not. I do love that bit of control, but I also love the thing I love most is how responsive you can be to your situation.
Yes.
When you're working a standard job, the kind that I was in, your salary is set. And so if something happens, there's no way you could go, oh, I'm going to earn more or work less, or there's no scalability. Whereas when you're running your own business and an opportunity pops up, you could go, oh, we'll start offering this service, or we'll increase our prices, or you can be responsive to what's happening around you. So COVID was a great example for us where we could pivot, which was, I think, the word of 2020.
It sure was.
But we could respond. Whereas if you're an employer, you're just watching this tsunami come towards you and you're not allowed to do anything in your job. You just lose your job and get swept away.
Yes.
But as a business owner, you can lean into it a bit more. And I really enjoy that challenge at every level, not just during global crisis, but also just, so as an example, a few weeks ago, a couple of months ago, we saw an inflatable outdoor cinema for hire. Like this guy was literally selling his whole business. So it's the massive outdoor screen. It's 5 by 3 meters. It's huge.
Yeah.
With the projector, the chairs, the whole lot. He had it up on like Facebook Marketplace for a really good price.
Yeah.
And we literally saw it. We had the money in our savings account. We were like, yeah, that dovetails with our business really nicely. It's in our wheelhouse to do. Be a great passive income stream.
Yeah.
By that afternoon, we'd gone to Sydney and purchased it. Like you have that sort of you can move quickly when you're running your own show. And I love that.
And resonating with a lot of what you're saying there, particularly around your situation, your income, and feeling like you're in a box when you're working for someone else, because they're really determining for that year what your income is going to be, whether you get a pay rise, whether you get a promotion, all those kinds of things. Whereas you're in control of that when you do run your own business, and you're not reliant on someone else to recognize your skills or efforts. You can, as you said, pivot towards what needs to be done based on your goals and what it is that you want to achieve. But that flows really nicely into the next question that I had for you, which was, you're married to each other and you're working together. Have there been any significant challenges in running a business with your best friend and your partner in crime? As mentioned, I've worked with you guys many times and you're a dream team, but I'm not seeing it from the other side.
Totally. We'd never had a fight before we started running our business together. I always say that we started our business officially the day after our first year anniversary.
What date is that? Just so I can remember you.
So the 8th of February is our Pipe Wolf anniversary.
Lovely.
So Dave literally finished uni on the 6th.
Yep.
The 7th was our wedding anniversary. The 8th we started the business.
Amazing.
So bang, bang, bang. So yeah, it's like getting married again. I think for a lot of people, you get to share your private lives together, but your professional lives are separate. And so it could be that you're a great partner, but maybe not a very good employee. And that doesn't really impact the relationship too much.
Yes.
Unless you're getting fired. Whereas this is all in. So Dave and I have very complementary personalities, but we also have very different strengths and weaknesses.
Yep.
So I've been working in and administration-based roles since I was 15. So I have a lot of experience when it comes to writing emails, answering phone calls, customer service, that sort of thing. Whereas Dave didn't have that sort of admin experience. The way that he would word an email or would handle an inquiry would be very different. It's mainly money that's the hardest pieces of conflict. And a lot of it is around when mistakes get made because you're in the boat together. So again, like we were saying, when you're employed in a traditional job, a standard job, you make a mistake that day, it's not going to really show up in your paycheck. Okay, it might affect your chances of promotion or something more ongoing, but you don't work that hard that day. You miss a deadline. There's not going to be a few hundred dollars missing in that paycheck. Whereas when you're running a business, that phone call doesn't get made, that email doesn't get sent, that video isn't recorded correctly. Like that is hitting your bottom line.
Yes.
Instantly. And we didn't have, again, it would have been nice, ideally, to start our business while we were both might maybe working part-time. So we could have got more experience, but it just didn't pan out that way. So we were having to learn on a very steep learning curve. So I would say it was probably the first 2 or 3 years, definitely the first 2 years, we just would have massive fights all the time.
Yeah.
Usually involving me screaming and Dave just very quietly sitting there. And a lot of that was because cash flow was really hard.
Yeah.
And we were living and dying by every job. As time goes on, things are becoming, you've got more momentum in your business. And so a mistake can be ridden over if you've got the ability to take the impact. Whereas at the beginning, mistakes hurt a lot. So it would be stuff like it would be filming and Dave hadn't checked equipment properly. And sometimes he wouldn't speak up during the filming session and say, instead of stopping everyone and saying, I'm not ready, he would just be nervously trying to fix it in the background. And so we would find out when I got home, oh yeah, so the recording cut out halfway through. And a lot of that, in a lot of ways, I think that is what I attribute a lot of our success to.
Yes.
Because we couldn't hide from each other and you had to learn. And I think you basically, you go deeper or it will drive you apart. And so for us, a lot of that stuff, it would push our conversations through, not just why didn't you speak up in that moment, but why didn't you feel confident? Why didn't you feel that our client deserved you? Like, more into pushing you into values and self-worth and self-esteem and those kind of real issues that are sitting behind a lot of those. A lot of it at the beginning is you're constantly, there's waves and waves of imposter syndrome. You're just constantly feeling like you're crap at everything you do. And every time we'd set a job off, well, they're going to ask for a refund. They're going to ask for a refund. Like, you're just constantly waiting for someone to ring you up and abuse you. And going through that together actually gives you a lot of strength because you can back each other up and say, you know, you did really well.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think for us, it brought us through to a better place. And it also made us be in awe of what we are great at in each other. I purposely don't learn Dave's part of the business. Like, we literally have job descriptions, who's in charge of what.
Yeah.
And I don't learn his stuff because I would just be nowhere near as good as him, and he doesn't learn mine, and that's his domain. Like, he is amazing. And so my job is really to unburden him from all the things that are going to get in his way of being an amazing videographer and letting him just run in that lane unencumbered. And he does the same for me a lot of the time. So we're just constantly, it's exciting pushing each other and seeing something so successful happened. So now that this is our fifth year, I think, of running the business, like, seeing us produce content and knowing that there's no way we could have produced that a few years ago.
Yeah.
And the only thing that's really changed is, you know, what we've invested into each other.
Yes.
So a lot of people are like, oh, you run the business together, like, that would be awful or things like that. But we really love it. I love spending time with Dave. He is my best friend. And I do think I count it as a privilege that we get to spend that time together. But also our jobs are quite, it's a very lock-in, like you put your headphones in and you lock into the work that you're doing.
Yes.
So at the end of the day, I often have to say, oh, how did you go today with what you were doing? Because I'm focused on what I'm doing. And so there is a lot of feedback. I do think it's a little bit, at the beginning of running the business, it's all consuming. From, we don't have kids, but from what I've seen of other people, it feels a little bit like you have a newborn baby. Like,
yeah,
every day you have to keep it alive, and it's all take, no give sort of thing. It's all you talk about. It's all that your world revolves around. Every conversation is the business, and you're working on it 24/7. That, I think if you're going to create a successful business, there are really no boundaries at the beginning.
Yes.
It's like having a newborn baby. Like, for the next few months, you don't have a life. You are keeping this child alive.
Yep.
And that's how it feels when you're running a business. And then over time, the business matures.
Mm-hmm.
And it gets to a point where you can knock off early, or you can have a day off, or you can take holidays, and it's going to sustain itself. It doesn't need you 24/7 to feed it. And I think that's been great for our relationship as well, because you get to a point where you're not talking about the business on the weekends. We don't really talk about the business a lot out of work hours anymore. Whereas at the beginning, it's all we ever talked about. You'd go to dinner and you'd be like, okay, we're not going to talk about the business. So you'd just be sitting there in silence because there's nothing else going on in your life. That's all you've got going on. And now you're just, it's just part of your life, and it's just rolling along, and it's just work. Like, we finish at 6 p.m. and in theory, we finish at some point in the evening.
Yes.
But once we switch off, that's it. It's done. We just go do the rest of our lives.
Love it. And so touching on the way in which you do work with clients, what are some of those services for those who haven't had the awesome opportunity of working with you before? Can you just run through and explain how it is that you help other businesses, whether that's small, medium or large, or the types of businesses that you work with and the different services that you guys offer?
Absolutely. So the services that we do is videography, virtual tours, so 360 tours, podcast editing, media transfers. So we digitize people's like VHS tapes and old media. And then we've got our outdoor cinema. And I always forget one of them, live streaming. So we do, and that's all we do. So we don't do photography. We don't do graphic design. We don't do commercials. we don't build websites. And that's a huge thing for us. It's we do this, not this. And knowing that from the beginning is really important. Our target, so because we have six different services, there's a slightly different target market for each one. The people that are going to hire the outdoor cinema or get their tapes transferred might not necessarily engage us for videography services. But videography is our main, the jewel in our crown. The other services are really there as
complementary
services. Yeah. We mainly work with small to medium businesses. Our ideal clients have, we're dealing with the owner. So we don't, so they might have multiple locations, but we're dealing directly with the decision makers. So we don't go after large companies where they have a marketing team and there's a headquarters and it's that like super large. We leave those to the guys. We are a little bit more on the affordable side, but we're not cheap because we're worth, we give quality work. But I guess our thing is we like to be busy and we like to be accessible. So I do like when you say it's fun to work with us, like that means a lot. Like one of our biggest things is that we're very down to earth. In our industry, it's really common for people to be quite pretentious and they just talk in jargon. There can be a huge lack of customer service or social skills. Because I guess it attracts a lot of people that are very technical. It can be a little bit, I guess it's a bit like when you engage a tradie or someone, you can, sometimes you don't care if they know what they're doing or not. You can't even get them to have a decent phone call with you or give you a good quote or something. And so it's really important to us that when people ring us up or email or make first contact, that the process is easy from there and they don't feel that we are looking down on them because they don't know what we know about stuff. And I think we all know what it's like when you ring up a company and you're made to feel a little bit, you're punished in some weird way for not being as professional as they think you should be. I don't really know how to word that better.
Yeah. But, it's almost like an uncomfortableness because you're not aware, as you said, of their industry, their jargon and all the bits and pieces. But as a client and as a customer, you're doing you and you're doing your business and your role.
Yes,
and exactly. So I know for me, videography, I wouldn't know where to begin. And I think what I really love about your process, and as you mentioned, making it quite easy and simple from the get-go, is that you explain everything. But the most important thing is that you guys make people feel comfortable and able to really be themselves rather than try and be something that they're not. I know when we first recorded the Let's Get Visible video together, which was I think 3 years ago now, which is just insane. But I was so nervous because I'd never done a video before. I think I had experimented at home, at my home office, with my iPhone on a tripod, trying to do some vlogging and failed miserably at doing those because there's so many elements that are part of doing video, from the content that you're creating, the scripts, teleprompters, as you said, lighting, the type of cameras and things that you're using, the quality of what that's going to look like at the end of producing it. So there are so many variables. And if it's not your thing and it's not what you do, it's just not going to turn out to be the quality that it should. But just having that real ease and being able to go, this is what I want to do. I know the scope that we had chatted about. I said to you, I don't want to be sitting behind a desk and talking technical things about SEO. I really want it to be fun. And I really want it to be able to showcase my brand and who I am rather than trying to be something that I'm not. And I think the fact that you guys were able to not just embrace that, but then add so much more value to it by looking at the script and going, hey, let's look at introducing this concept with that and then building it up to what it was. And to this day, 3 years later, the amount of feedback and comments that video gets just on its own is, it's incredible. People know me because of that video. So I couldn't agree more. I think your process is definitely easy, but you also make people feel really comfortable in being able to be themselves. And I guess other clients would give you that feedback too.
It's always encouraging to hear that. That's, I think that's a big aim of ours. For a lot of people, it's a huge investment and a really big deal being on camera. A lot of people come to us in similar with your background, like, oh, I've had a few goes on YouTube where I've done some stuff myself. And they're often quite embarrassed about that, where we're like, no, that's, you should start there. And then you outgrow that level and then you come and get a professional video. So
yeah,
we really applaud and encourage people to get their phone out. iPhones and phones these days have the, you know, really good cameras in them anyway.
Yeah.
And get your confidence up, get your audience built. And when someone comes to us, if they're spending $2,000 on, you know, a range of videos for their business, that's a huge investment. Like, that's what I mean. We don't work with these massive corporate companies who have millions of dollars to spend. And people they've been fretting for days. It's a huge thing for them to get in front of the camera. And I'm sure that they've made a trip to the hairdresser and their hair done, and they've usually got their nails done and they've had their makeup all sorted. Like, it's a big deal. And so you need to approach each client with the respect for what this is like to them. It's just another day in the office for us, but to them, they've been wanting to get a professional video done probably since the day they opened their business.
Yeah.
And we are there to make that happen for them.
Yeah.
And they probably won't be able to afford to get another one done for a long time.
For another 3 years.
Another 3 years.
Yeah.
Because again, there are some companies that do get regular videos, but for a lot of companies, it's something you're doing when you can, and making people feel comfortable, and also not coming in with this idea of we're the know-it-alls, or where, you know, we're going to come and bring our knowledge. But yeah, we don't know their industry. We don't know their business. We're very client-led in our processes, which has been something that's probably caused us to lose some clients, because people often want to be directed and told what to do. But we're much more interested in bringing your ideas to life. And like, I think that's exactly what you came to us with, ideas, and then it's our job to bring those to life. And that's what we do best. Dave and I are creative, but we're not the gatekeepers of every creative idea either. And neither of us have got marketing degrees. We very much see ourselves as camera people for hire. We're not a marketing agency.
Yep.
And that is, again, something that sometimes you have to explain to people, like, you're hiring us because we can film and edit, but we're not, if you're wanting a video that's going to go viral and has loaded into it all of these kind of marketing messages and subliminal magic things, you need to call up a marketing agency. We're not the people for you. Not being afraid. I would rather disappoint people in the first instance.
Yeah.
Have them spend all this money and then we haven't landed where they want them, where, yes, they want things to be. So when someone calls and I'm like, yes, you are in our wheelhouse, I'm very confident in communicating that and very keen to obviously lock that job in. But if someone, there's just going to be tears at the end of the day on both sides. We've all had that experience where we took on a client and we knew, oh, we're not really going to be able to meet their needs, but we want their money. Yeah. And it's awful. Every second of those processes are awful.
Absolutely. And that leads me into this next part, which is hindsight.
Because
we do, as you said, have examples of that. And I think with time and running your business now for 4.5 years and having those experiences, you work out what you do want and what you don't want. Because the last thing you want is, as you said, to take someone's money and they not be happy with the outcome and it hasn't met their expectations. And I think all businesses go through that, where they're really starting to filter down and go, okay, is this a right fit for both of us? Not just for the customer or the client, but also for you as that business, because reputation really is everything as well. So I'm just wondering if, in hindsight, anything that you would do differently and why, and any examples of the highs and lows that you've had to face when running Pipewolf Media.
Some of the hindsight stuff, even at the time, you knew, but it was a survival technique.
Yeah.
So for example, we discounted a lot more freely at the beginning.
Yeah.
And so part of that is because you don't have the confidence to put out the big figure, but also part of it is because cash flow is king, and getting a job for $500 is better than losing a job at $1,000.
Yeah.
You would do things sometimes knowing this is a temporary thing. I'm not going to be doing this in a year's time, but we're doing it now as a strategic move. So we actually had a date a couple of years ago where we drew a line in the sand and we said we no longer discount from this point onwards. We were pretty firm with our pricing. One of my pet hates in business is people that quote to what they think the customer can afford, whereas we always quoted based on an hourly rate and what the job would actually cost. But there would be a bit of, oh, I don't think this person's going to be able to afford that. Well, and so we did always say on the invoice, if it was discounted, we'd say like a 20% discount applied. So they knew that wasn't the price normal all price. The time.
Yeah.
And all of our quotes had expiry dates. So every quote expires after 6 months. If you are in a situation where you do need to do some discounting, I highly recommend letting them know it's discounted, because then when they come back later, they're not going to expect the same price, and letting them know that it has an end date. And then the third thing is, if you can tie the discount to something, end of financial year, it's our birthday celebration, so we're offering a discount, then it makes it feel a little bit more like a sale rather than this is what we do all the time. But yeah, at the beginning, it took us a while to get the confidence to stop doing that. We did crazy stuff. Like one time I got this wedding inquiry for a wedding in Victoria and she only had $1,000 or something. And I just was like, well, Dave, we can sit here and go, no, we're worth more than that. Or we could go down there and get our mortgage payment for the month. So yeah. We drove all the way to Victoria, shot a wedding, drove home, $1,000. Like when you looked at the hourly, it was like $5 an hour or something ridiculous. Money's money. And yeah. What were we going to do? Just sit home and watch Netflix? And we had a great trip. Whereas now I've got too much work on. I'm not going to do that. So some of that stuff you're doing it knowing this is an early day story and yeah. We're not always going to be like this. I think in terms of things that I wouldn't say necessarily regret, but if I could go back and tell myself at the beginning, one of the biggest things is probably how much you stress about the small stuff when you start a business. Like, the logo is so important. Like all of this stuff. Sometimes I go back and I'll find we started before we launched the business. I made all these templates because I thought, oh, this will be helpful. So yeah. I made this like inquiry template. So when we're on the phone, we'd be filling out these questions.
Yeah.
Never used it once. Like didn't, because of course, and this is why some business plans annoy me, because you're making a plan for something you don't really know how it's going to go.
Yeah.
And so this sounded like a great idea. And sometimes I still have it saved as a template, this inquiry form, because I don't have the heart to delete it because it's too funny. But it's, oh, we had no idea that we wouldn't handle our inquiries like that. So it is good to think about stuff, but you need to also see how you go with it. Most of our hindsight stuff is with equipment and communicating expectations to people.
Yep.
There was a lot of most of our not backing up data enough. There's nothing more exciting than accidentally deleting a job that's not delivered yet and then spending all weekend recovering those files. That is also a great thing for your marriage. A lot of our mistakes are behind the scenes like that. Like a lot of our mistakes are realizing that something wasn't recorded properly, or a setting. Another fun one is when a setting wasn't done properly.
Yeah.
And so now you have to spend triple the work to get it back up to scratch. We shot one wedding. We don't do a lot of weddings anymore, but we did a lot of weddings at the beginning. And the audio, let me remember this. We had three different audio recordings running, like SES systems. Two of the three failed. So that was fun.
Oh no.
And we were down a camera than we normally would be. So the only audio I had was a pretty like crappy, they wouldn't probably notice the difference, but in editing, we couldn't play with it the way we would have been able to if the others had worked.
Yeah.
Because it wasn't as directional.
Yes.
And so there was this part during the wedding ceremony where a car goes past that's really loud and it can't be edited out because we don't have the recording quality. But luckily during the wedding, they had an old ute or something. And so I just put the footage of the ute driving nice. Over this car. So it just sounds like it's the ute. but yeah, that was really a mistake. There's stuff like that. And you just go, oh, how can I creatively solve this? And never let that happen again. So a really good thing I heard that really stuck with me was on another podcast. I was constantly listening to podcasts. He talked about the dollar value of a lesson. And so when you make a mistake like that, of you don't have enough things recording, you can walk away and go, we're so crap. We should stop running the business. Let's just ring up and cancel all of our future weddings. And we would do that because, you know, we're dramatic, creative people who are like, oh, it's all over. But then you can sit back and go, how much would I pay to know what I now know from that lesson? And so you'd be like, learning that lesson is probably going to save us thousands in the future. Like, I was just given a gift of $1,000 education. And so sometimes we make mistakes and it costs us $40 or $80 to fix. And I'm like, that lesson is now worth $80 and we're going to take it as something that's adding value to us rather than see it something that's draining from us.
And I love that. It's always the lesson, isn't it, that you're learning from the things that went wrong rather than the things that went. And so that leads me into the next phase, which is the visibility. So being able to get your business to where it is today and getting that visibility, what do you think has worked best for you guys in relation to, has it been social media? Has it been your website? Has it been networking? What do you think has been really driving the growth that you've seen in your business in the last 4.5 years?
It's 100% networking and SEO. I could almost link every single sale client to one of those. At the beginning, we just did an insane amount of networking. I didn't really know about SEO. Like, I was vaguely aware of what it was, but I wasn't aware of its importance or what it could do for us. And so at the beginning, because our target market is local businesses, I thought, where are local businesses? Let's do networking events. And Dave and I are both quite introverted people. Like, I would rather stay home and watch TV every day of my life than go to a networking event. But these are the things you do. So I basically said, for 1 year, we're going to go to every networking event we can. And we did. We had no money because we just started. So luckily, I've always thought that bartering was something that's important. So I managed to strike a deal with a couple of networking groups who were paid membership ones, where I said, how about we create some videos for your networking group in exchange for memberships, which they said yes to. So that was awesome. So not every business would be in a situation to do that, but some might be.
Yeah.
So that gave us access to go to more groups. We did have to make the videos, which takes a lot of time, but we had more time back then. And that really opened everything up. Like, at the beginning, you're just thinking, oh, I'm just sitting here eating some random sandwiches and chatting to people that I have no idea. Like, if I talk to one more coach, I'm just gonna cry on the ground. It's a bit like dating. You'll meet 100 people and 2 of them were great contacts and the rest, it was just a whole lot of polite nodding. And that's what networking really is. But the 2 great contacts are worth it. And the other thing that really surprised me was how much people would refer you on. So you'd meet someone and they're not interested in your services for themselves, but they would tell someone. And it flew both ways, because even to this day, I now know all these businesses from networking and I'm constantly referring people that I met at networking to other people. But it was the consistency that was the key. If you rock up to one, then, you know, and you'll just go, it didn't work, and then you'll go home and pout. But the key is becoming a regular and being at every single one until then, because at that point you've met all the people that constantly go, and then the new people, and you just keep meeting them. It's at the point, it got to the point where locally, if someone locally put up on a Facebook post, like, I'm looking for a videographer, we'd get recommended 5 or 6 times.
Absolutely. I know, yeah, I'm one of those people.
Thank you.
Just go up on the website and view the work and see the Let's Get Visible video. And it's true. It's that referral network really does huge. Build and it helps.
And the thing is, if people like you, they recommend you.
Yeah.
And networking is about showing people how awesome and likable and funny you are. A lot of it is just, it's not even who it's, you know, I say it's not what it's who, it's not even that, it's who you like. Because if you like somebody, you want their business to be great.
Yes.
And you'll recommend them to everybody. And if you meet someone at networking and you're instantly like, ugh, you're like, I'm not recommending you to anyone. That's just how it goes. Going to lots of networking events was key. We haven't actually been for a couple of years, and we're ready to probably need to do another year of going to all of them, because you do network yourself out. You need to have a break and then get back in. The second thing is SEO, which we became aware of through networking. And then I met you, Dawes, through networking, which, you know, is another great reason why everyone needs to network, for all the great friends that they make.
Yep.
And I actually have made some really good friends from networking. Not just a handful of people that I actually genuinely would count as friends now, but I didn't realize how SEO worked. And when you do networking, people get up and do little talks about their businesses, and it educates you around what it is. And actually, was someone else gave a talk about SEO before I met Dawes, and their talk made me go, we need this right now. Like, I'm almost sitting at the table panicking. What is this? How do I get it right now? And so by the time I met Dawes, I had this radar of, I need SEO badly. And I'd basically become pathologically convinced, if we don't have SEO, we're going to fail. So I was already converted, but it was about finding the right person to work with. And for us, visibility on Google is everything. If you're not turning up on the front page of Google, do you even have a business? That's how important it is to us. Some industries, it doesn't matter so much because their network, their wholesale or their networked or whatever. But for us, people are going to Google Wollongong videographer or something to that effect.
Yeah.
And if we're not popping up in the top ones, they're not going to call us. So it's life or death for us. And we did everything that Dawes said. And that's the other thing is, don't die on a hill of, it has to look like this.
Yeah.
Who cares? I will write blogs. I will put random pieces of information, whatever it takes, I will do to make it work.
And I think that's a key point you've mentioned there. Yeah. Not to be precious about it. And yeah, taking those recommendations and going, okay, this is what it is, and this is what we need to do, which I think is a really important point. Now, some final tips to share with our audience. So if someone was thinking about having a video recorded for their business and for their website, for example, what are some tips that you can share that, yeah, just provide some insights into that?
So is this if they're going to make their own, or if they're going to come to us and we're going to make it for them?
Yeah, for you, if you were going to assist them with that.
Okay. My biggest tip is, okay, there's instantly three in my head. Like, we're going to look after the technical stuff, so you don't have to worry about that. You are in charge of content and your confidence. The one thing I can't do on the day is I can't give you, like, I can't just go, oh, here, look at me, I bought like a kilo of confidence with me, all for you. And that is the thing. Doesn't matter how much we record, how great the camera is, how great the lighting is, how good the script is, if you don't feel confident, it is all gonna implode. Whereas if you're confident and you're comfortable in front of the camera, everything will shine. I encourage people to do a lot of DIY stuff before they get a professional. So Facebook stories or those Instagram like stories, they're awesome because they're not gonna stick around. You can be a bit silly on them, but they get you used to talking on camera, seeing yourself. The more that you can see yourself, and you need to be kind to yourself. None of us are movie stars. We've recorded a few videos of our own and they're hysterical. And I can see the look in my eye where I'm just like, ah, I'm dying. Because of course I was like, I'll do this unscripted off the top of my head. And all the crappy versions no one will ever see, and you have to have fun with it, and your people will watch it and think, well, number one, their thoughts are none of your business, so who cares what they think? But secondly, you're out there giving it a go. And yeah. I'm sure, like most people, I watch videos and I 99% of the time I think they're hysterical or what a legend, or I'm not ripping them to shreds. The more that you experience you have before you get a professional video done, the better, and the more confidence you have. And then in terms of the overall vision for the video, the question I always say is, what do you want people to know when they finish watching the video, and what do you want them to do?
Love it.
So not every video has a strong call to action. Some are information based, but some are, I want them to ring me. But be very clear. Some videos, I want them to attend an event. I want them to book a ticket. I want them to book me. Or it could be an awareness campaign where I want them to go tell a friend, or I want them to now know this piece of information, and then work backwards from there. So if you want them to share that information with a friend, are you going to do that through humor? Are you going to do that through fear? Are you going to do that through statistics? Are you going to do it through entertainment? Are you just going to talk and build it back that way? But have that end goal. And the other thing is, you can only ask one thing from a video, not 20. So the video can't be going to go viral, entertaining, tell everyone there is to know about your business, share your life story, and be quick and easy to watch on Instagram. That's too much pressure on one video. And people often do that. They'll come to us and they're like, they want the video to be everything.
Mm.
Like, no, this video, is this video entertaining? Is it engaging? Is it a 20-minute how-to video where its purpose is to show an engaged audience something, but it's not meant to go viral? You can't, you know, put too much on it. Otherwise it becomes nothing.
Yeah.
And that's been something tricky.
At that point, otherwise it can become, a bit gone with the wind type thing and go on for ages and ages. But definitely having a goal and purpose is definitely key.
Yeah.
So if our audience would like to get in contact with Fiona, I will be adding all of the Pipewolf details, including website and associated links to social media, so you too can take a look at their amazing work. Fiona, thank you so much for joining me as a guest today. Fun will always be the word that pops into mind when I think about you and Dave and the team at Pipewolf Media. Really appreciate you being with us today and hope you've had a good time as well.
I have actually. I could talk for hours.
Oh, good.
It's been good. Thank you.
Thanks so much, Fiona. Thanks for giving this show a listen, and don't forget to leave your feedback and rating. If you want to learn more about me or my services, please jump on over to letsgetvisible.com.au, where you'll find show notes and links to my social media profiles so you can connect there as well. Okay, well, that's a wrap for another episode. So I'll join you next time on the Let's Get Visible podcast.